Welcome to 406 Safety. I'm Kelly Trudgeon. I'm a safety consultant and I'm the owner of 406 Safety. This is my second podcast. Today I'm going to talk about sun safety. So this is something that I'm very passionate about. When I was 30 years old, I woke up with a black dot on my lip. I thought my kids played a prank on me and wrote on my lip with a Sharpie marker. I tried everything to get the dot off of my lip. I scrubbed for a few days. I waited for it to fade. It was so black that I didn't think in any way possible was it something natural, like that my body could produce something black like that. So of course I went to the skin doctor and I thought he was going to tell me that, you know, it's normal, it's a freckle or something like that. But he came in and said, ooh. And as soon as he said, ooh, I thought, oh, this isn't good. Then he said, I don't like anything black. Anything black on your skin is not natural. I'll be right back. So he left the room and he came back with this big needle and he said, we're going to remove that and send it off for biopsy. And my heart just dropped. I was thinking, biopsy. Oh my goodness. So he injected my lip with this needle, which hurt, by the way. Your lip is so sensitive. And he cut it out a good chunk. And then I was worried if it was ever going to grow back, but it did. It grew back. And I can still feel like the scar tissue in there, but it's not noticeable. But I was waiting for 10 days to find out if this was cancerous or not. So I was thinking of ways that I could have protected my lips. I've always worn sunscreen, but not necessarily put things on my lips because a lot of labels say don't put near your mouth or your eyes. So of course I don't put it on my lips. So then I went and looked for a lip balm that had sunscreen in it, and sure enough, I found it. And so now when I find it, I'll buy 3 or 4 at a time, and I always keep one in the car and I keep one with me because I'm really adamant. I know that the damage was there on my lip and I feel like the skin there could be damaged permanently. I already have some damage there, so I feel like I'm more susceptible to get another spot on my lip. So anyways, long story about that. I'm very adamant about sun safety. So let's talk sun damage. So when our skin burns, it's damage caused by UV radiation, the UVB and the UVA rays that the sun emits. When we have a suntan, it's because our body produces pigment to protect from sun damage. So the darker tan you have, the more ability your body has to produce pigment to protect from sun damage. There are some risk factors out there for people who are more susceptible to burns. I am one of those people. My skin burns and then it goes away. So let's talk about some of the risk factors. Pale skin, blonde, red, or light brown hair. Again, less pigment than dark hair. Being treated for skin cancer. Being treated for any type of cancer makes you more susceptible. Having a family member that has cancer. Medications. Read your medications labels. You could be more susceptible to a sun damage because maybe it inhibits your body's ability to protect itself from those UV rays. Ladies, makeup, your skin regimen. Maybe that exfoliator is going to remove the outer layer of skin. So you want to make sure that you read the label on those, and I bet you it tells you you need to wear sunscreen. So that's something to look at. What can we do to protect our skin? So let's think about some things that we can do to protect our skin. Very first thing, don't go out in the sun. Well, we know that isn't going to happen. So if you are susceptible and you are going to go out in the sun, covering up is best. Wear a large brim hat. Go ahead, look like one of the ladies at the horse races. Those are the hats that I have. My friends will contest that they hate my hats. There's a lot of hat haters. I love hats. It covers my skin. And guess what? It helps reduce aging, because if you are not damaging your skin, if you're covering up your skin and protecting it from those rays, you are going to age slower than somebody who's out there in the sun, sun tanning. Just a thought. This tan might look good temporarily, but for long term, if you prevent sun exposure, it's going to help you in the long run. So there's that. So cover up.
They make clothing now that has SPF ratings. They make rash guards, which are those long sleeve swim shirts. My son does not go swimming unless he has a swim shirt, because we've all had that awesome burn on our back because we put sunscreen everywhere else, don't put it on our back, and then our life is hell, literally for a week or whatever it is until we suffer through the summer. Long pants, long sleeves. You can get clothing that's breathable, that the wind still goes through, and actually might be more comfortable. And another thought that really doesn't have to do with anything with the sun related, like protecting your skin from the sun, but from heat. So I have noticed if I'm wearing black, it absorbs light. It absorbs those rays. It makes me super hot. When I'm wearing white, it reflects light. So that might be something to think about. I stay cooler if I'm wearing lighter clothing. So in the summer, I try to make sure that I have lighter clothing. I remember I did a Bloomsday in Spokane and I wore black pants, and it just happened to be one of the first days that the sun was out, and it was so uncomfortable because the heat just absorbed into those pants, and it was like a 12K or whatever on asphalt. So we're going to get into things like asphalt that reflect rays, water, snow, all those things reflect rays. So just remember covering up whatever you can. Be creative. Next, if you're not going to cover up and you're going to be out there in the wide open showing your skin, make sure that you have a good sunscreen. And what I mean by good sunscreen is make sure that it's broad spectrum, because like I said, there's different UVB rays, there's different UV rays, UVB and UVA. So broad spectrum covers them both. Make sure that you cover your lips, the tips of your ears, and your nose. And I know you can get like zinc, little like lip balm looking things just for your nose and your lips and your ears, or you can get lip balm for your lips. Like I said, I'm very, very aware of lip safety now because of what had happened to me. So, there's that. Next, make sure that you're applying it at least every 2 hours, but better than that, you need to read the directions and the manufacturer's recommendations for application and reapplying, and make sure it's waterproof if you're playing in the water. And if you're playing in the water, you have to reapply it more often. So make sure that you read those and make sure that they have an SPF sun protection factor of more than 15, or at least 15 or greater. There's no real evidence that more is better, but do at least 15. Remember, those rays can affect us even on a cloudy day. They come through the clouds. So in the winter, they're there as well. So actually, you should be wearing sunscreen year-round, especially on parts of your body that are exposed, like your face. I make sure to wear sunscreen every day under my makeup. It's a must, especially now since I had that thing removed on my lip. What else? So if you're bald, make sure that you're putting sunscreen on your head, or wearing a hat. And also, let's talk about our eyes. There's some studies now that show that UV rays affect and ultimately could contribute to cataracts or macular degeneration. So let's talk about ways we can protect our eyes. Sunglasses. Buying sunglasses that have broad spectrum, make sure they protect against UVA and UVB, and that they're large. They cover the whole socket, the soft tissue under our eyes and above our eyes. And if you can get your kids to wear it, all the better. So in certain environments like water, where it's reflecting, we're getting our exposure directly from the sun, but it's also reflecting off the water and also off of asphalt, off of snow. Our exposure doubles if we're in the snow. There's been studies that show that it doubles. So making sure that when you go skiing, you wear sunscreen and protective eyewear. And price doesn't ensure that you have a good pair of sunglasses. You can get a good pair of protective sunglasses. They might not be the prettiest, but you can get ones that offer the best protection in a department store, in the fishing department. There'll be like some off or some generic brand glasses that are polarized that protect from UVA and UVB that are under $10. So I go there first. And if you lose sunglasses, that might be a place to go. Wide brim hats. I have a hat that I wear when I float the river, and it's got a certain layer of fabric underneath the brim that, you know, that absorbs those rays instead of reflecting them, so it absorbs them so it doesn't bounce back down onto my face. So that's something also to be intentional about. And that's all I have for today. Short and sweet. Make sure that you protect yourself. Oh, I want to add one more thing in my notes. I'm looking at my notes. Altitude. The higher you are, the closer you are to the sun, you are more susceptible than somebody that is at sea level. So I hope these tips have helped you get some ideas about how to be safer with sun safety, because it does matter, and it's one of those things that might not show up until years down the road. So you are your best advocate for what your future life is going to be like. If you want to have a great retirement, then you should take precautions now to make sure that you can enjoy yourself later. But I want to thank you for taking a short time to spend with me and listen to me talk about why I think sun safety is important. And hopefully you will listen on my next podcast. So until then, stay safe. Hi, and welcome to my podcast. I'm Kelly Trudgeon. I'm the owner of 406 Safety, and I'm a safety management consultant. Today, I want to talk to you about COVID and getting your business prepared and a risk assessment that you can use to help navigate what that looks like. And what I mean is, there's a lot of COVID going around, and regardless of how it affects us, it will affect our business with all of the laws and quarantines and everything put in place. It will affect our business if somebody becomes positive with COVID. And yes, COVID is a recordable incident for OSHA. It's recordable. And it could also be considered a work comp claim depending on if people were exposed at work or not. But there's a lot of gray area to that, and that would be left up to the experts of the due contact tracing and all of the whole back side of things that go with that. But today, I'm not going to talk about all that. I'm going to talk about what you can do to get in control ahead of time. Be ahead of the game if it is to become a problem for you or your business. So I want to talk about risk assessment. So anything that you're thinking about in the future, future projects, future programs, future policies, any changes in the future, you can do a risk assessment for virtually anything. So today I want to talk about how you would risk assess the potential and how it could invade your business and how to get ahead of it, how to mitigate the damage that could be done by that happening. So first of all, I would write down every employee task that's in your business or employee job. Like, for instance, some of the things that I can think of are admin, maybe you have a front desk, maybe you have a caretaker, maybe you have a janitor, or, you know, take every position that you have in your workplace and write them all down in a list. Next, do that in the first column. In the second column, I want you to write for each job. If that person in that position were to automatically be out for 30 days or more, or maybe forever, what can be done to make sure that business can run smoothly? So let's say, example, the first person we'll talk about is payroll. First of all, if they had to be quarantined, they had to go home. Like, let's say if somebody had to be quarantined, they go home, they have a family, so they go home, they're quarantining for 14 days. Maybe they're only quarantining because they're a close contact. Maybe they do not have COVID. So maybe someone in their family has COVID, then they have to quarantine, and then maybe they get COVID, so it could just drag on forever. You see where I'm going with this. But the thing is if they're the payroll person,
Is there a backup person that can do payroll? Is there a backup plan? Maybe if they work in the office, are they able to work from home? What does that look like? And, you know, what could be a potential? So, first column, all of the tasks and job duties and jobs and positions in your company. Second column, do you have somebody to fill in or a process in place to fill in the event that they have to go home and quarantine? Third column, you can use this as, you know, there's other, like, what do we have as a backup plan already in place? So if you have someone else that knows payroll, you put that in there, you know, we got this person as backup, or another process that you can put in place. And then in column four, it's going to have four columns, is going to be your action items. What do you need to do to get into place so that if that person's gone, you have a backup plan? And so you can do that for each person in your business. So then if they get to where they have to go home, you have a backup plan. Some things to consider are, you know, we're in the workplace, consider things that they do outside of work. Maybe you have some employees that are related to each other. They're in the same household. What happens if you have three or four or five employees that are out? What does that look like? So you can go through the whole list. And then what happens if in your business, I'm going to tell you a great resource right now, and it's coronavirus.gov. It has what happens if you're sick. If you're a small business, there's a section in there on how to get your employees back to work. There's also a section on there for grants and things that could help you that are in place that could help a small business owner. They use items from the CDC and other vetted organizations that are there with the research. So if it were me, I would go to that site and look at how things change daily. But make yourself that action plan. And give yourself some peace of mind. Put a policy in place. You as a business owner, or whoever you are, you have the ability to make a policy if it's less conservative, or if it's more conservative, excuse me, than the health department. Of course you want to talk to the health department. But if you leave your future up to everybody else, it's kind of willy-nilly all over the place. Go ahead and make a policy for yourself that best suits yourself. Just make sure that it follows all the guidelines. If you have any more questions, you feel free to go to my website, which is 406safety.com, 406safety.com. I'm Kelly. You'll see my picture on there. And at the bottom, I have just a place where you can get in contact with me. And I would be happy to help with any of that. I have a template that I've made for the actual risk assessment. It's not anything fancy. You can make those things yourself. Just make some columns and some room to fill it in. But I just want to give you some peace of mind. And hopefully that tidbit would be some extra knowledge to help you going forward. And that's all I have today. Short and sweet, like always. Till next time. Bye.